Let's get rolling. Okay.
Big.
So, what I want to look at this morning is, you know, it's funny, usually you don't go back, you know, there's this idea, they say, Sof Ma'aseh V'Machshava Tchila, that was happening, you know, later, that was in mind earlier, and I don't usually go back here around this time of year, but I think it makes sense, right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the beginning of the first Rashi in the entire Torah. Okay? Reishis Bar Elohim, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, says Rabbi Yitzchak, Lo Yitzar Lahatchilat HaTorah, Ela Me'achodesh Hazeh Lachem. The Torah really should have begun by HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, right? By the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a people. She mitzvah Rishona, she mitzvahu by Yisrael. Right? First mitzvah given to the Jewish people. Right? And the Torah is Torah. Torah means the people. It's the book of law. So it makes sense. Uma'atam pasach be'Bereishis. So why open up with Bereishis? Mishum koach ma'asah be'gid le'amav. To show the strength of his deeds that he's telling to his nation, right? That God created the world, and I get to decide sort of who gets to live where. Right? Latei lehem nachlas goyim, to give them the heritage of the nations. She'in yomru ha'umot ha'olam the Yisrael. Listen atem. She'kavashtem arso shiva goyim. So that if people say to the Jewish people, you're thieves, you're stealing our land from the river to the sea, you're stealing our land. It's not, you have no leg to stand on. Right? Heim omrim lehem, kol haaretz she'akadosh baruch hu. Look, God created the world. We see it right here in the beginning of Bereishis. Hu bra'a netana la'asher yashar be'inav. He created it and gave it to who was upright in his eyes. Birtzono natna lehem. Well, birtzono natna lehem v'natnu lanu. So, you know, it was God's will that they got them, right? That the Shiva Amamin, the seven nations or tribes in Canaan, right, received it. And at that point, right, okay, you got it, but now I took it away, right? And we know all the Torah speaks about, and then, of course, Sefer Yehoshua and so on and so forth, right? This is who we are. So this is the first Rashi in the Torah. I'm sure you've heard it before. There are a lot of things that come up with this. Like, who's Rabbi Yitzchak? Who's Rabbi Yitzchak? Like it's a weird thing. So there's a pshat that says, it's not clear. We don't no one really knows. But there's a pshat that says that Rabbi Yitzchak was Rashi's father. Because Rashi is Rav Shlomo Yitzchaki, Rav Shlomo Ben Yitzchak. So they say that perhaps he wanted to start the first, you know, perush of the, you know, of the entire Torah, and then, you know, it continues on, and we know he does all of Tanakh and most of Shas, Rebbe Sudar, that it should be his father. Why? Mesorah. Right? Here I am. I didn't make this up. Right? Just like the claim they're saying about, you know, that his father told him about Eretz Yisrael. If it was his father, you know, and we're saying we didn't make this up. This is right here. Right? In the same way, he's saying to Am Yisrael, right, to everyone who's, I mean, the truth is, Christians, you know, for years we're learning, in the Middle Ages we're learning Rashi to understand, you know, Torah better, right? He's saying, I didn't make this up, right? I'm part of the Masorah. I'm just a link in the chain, and I'm passing down what I received, and that's what he does that for the first. Some say, no, there's a Rebbe Yitzchak. You find him a few times. It's very rare, but you do find Rebbe Yitzchak a few times in Midrash literature. So that's the pshat. Okay, fine, very nice. What else? What other questions arise? Just see this Rashi. One Rashi. Think about what about his question, right? He said we should start from Achodesh Hazeh, and that's where we are obviously in Parshas Bo, right? So we should start Achodesh Hazeh because it's the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people. Problem with that? Correct. It's the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a whole, as a nation. Right? But, you know, you can look at the Sefer HaChinuch and all of the mitzvah enumerators, right? There's actually three mitzvahs given in Parshat Bereishis, right? There's Perur Bo, there's Bris Milah, Sefer Bereishis, there's Bris Milah, and there's Gidon Asher. Right? So you have three mitzvahs that actually were given, right? And it's not like Bris was like re-given, it was like literally, yeah, it's right there. So what does that mean? Like, that's not such a great... It takes a little bit away from the question. Anything else?
What about offering this of Yaakov?
Yeah, good, right. I was like, okay, that's nice. So you just gave us, you gave us a reason, right? So he says, all right, you know, God created the world, and therefore, you know, so you could go from literally Parsha Bereishit and skip and just get rid of everything else and skip to Achodesh Hazeh, right? Doesn't really answer the question. The answer to that, I think, is that yes, of course, he's saying it started this way, but you can't just have point A and then point B. You have to draw a line from point A to point B, right? Meaning, when God creates the world, that's very nice, but then why would he give... Why is there an ability or a reason to give the Torah to some nation, right? That slave nation that's in Egypt. Why would there be a Chodesh Hazeh Lachem? Where does that come from? So you have, by definition, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov have to be included there. You could still say, by the way, okay, fine, so Parshas Noach should exist, right? Or the rest, you know, just have the first parak of Bereishit, and not the rest. You don't need to hear about Cain and Abel and so on and so forth, right? So, right, that's another Shiloh. And the third Shiloh is, what? Why? Well, like, what does it have to do with anything? Right? Because if you actually see, like, so that's that first Rashi. The second Rashi is, you know, Bereishis Bara, Eina Mikra Azeh Omer Ela Darshani. We need to understand, what does this mean? Bereishis, you know, what does Bereishis Bara mean? It means, it could sound that there is this entity called Reishi, right? And he created the world, right? It's a how do you do it? Like, that's how Rashi works. This is a complete non sequitur. Why is he even talking about it's, you know, it's about Eretz Yisrael. Like, why is he doing this? It actually makes no sense. So, by the way, so again, what you could do here, two answers. Number one, you could say what I just said. Sof ma'asam ma'achshava tchila, right? That when we think about the end, we have to go back to the beginning. That's what we do in Judaism, right? Simchas Torah, right? Start your ending. Sefer Devarim, your ending is Zos HaBracha, and then you're going back to Bereishis Bara. How does Zos HaBracha end? Literally, you know, this is Chazak Ve'amatz. We're like literally on the verge, on the precipice of going into Israel. So it actually makes perfect sense, you know, why you would have that circle, right? To start the circle here and then close it at the end of the Torah, because, yeah, that's the whole purpose. It was to give us a Torah, giving us mitzvos as a people, and then giving us the land, right? And it's all part of that. So, and the second answer, which is sort of dovetails the first, is why now? So this is a historical answer. Elie Wiesel writes about this in his biography of Rashi. It's like a biography that's written in a very, like a poetic, you know, prose kind of way. And he talks about Rashi's history. When does Rashi live?
Crusades.
Correct. Rashi lives through the Crusades, right? Crusades in Germany happened in 1096. Rashi's born in 1040, and dies, it's Machloket, I think they say either 1103 or 1107, something like that. Which is crazy how little, right? It's not like he lived for 80 years, and look what he accomplished. But he lived through this. And what's happening, right? The Crusades, what did they say? What's the Crusades all about? Who's fighting for the land? It's crazy, right? It's the crit, right? The Muslims were in control. The Christians took it over. They're killing Jews on the way in the Rhineland. Rashi was from France, but he learned in Germany, right? We know that's where his yeshiva was, right? And they're killing people, you know, along the Rhineland and, you know, in France and so on and so forth. And then they're going there to Israel. And you know, here Rashi and his generation are looking around saying, okay, that's nice, like, what about us? Right? And then, and like, it's fascinating that you think about the Rambam, you know, fast forward like whatever it is, 100 some odd years, and the Rambam left, yeah, about 100 some odd years.
It was 1085 to 11 something. 1085 to 1147. I think they had a short overlap.
No,
you said 1103, yeah.
No, it's later. He's like later in the 1100s. Whatever. Rambam. Anyways,
Rambam was born in 1140.
Yeah,
he's 1140.
He's born later. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's how I remember. The Rambam is 1100s. The Ramban is the 1200s.
Right.
But so yeah. Rambam, when he was forced out of, you know, he's from Spain, right? And he was forced out of Spain. Why? There was a fanatical Muslim ruler. There's talk about, this is a whole, you know, to hold also in historical, you know, lore, the whole question, did his family convert, like outwardly, forcibly convert? And there's a lot to say that happened, and then he left. And where'd they go? His father took him. Where'd they go? Right. They went to Eretz Yisrael. They went to Israel, right? They might have spent a brief time somewhere else. I'm forgetting where. Right. In the Arab world, Morocco maybe? And then they went, and then they go to Israel. And they can't stay there. Why? Because the Christians are in control. Right, so the Muslims, so he's a, you know, the Rashi seeing the Muslims, right, they're in control, and then the Christians are like, oh, this is ours, and now, you know, Christians are there, they're like, oh, good, we're going to live here now. It's impossible to live there, being persecuted there, and that's why he ultimately settles in Egypt, right? So the point is that Rashi is opening up his book, right, and he's opening up his commentary, and he's saying, yeah, guys, it's very nice you're fighting about all this stuff, it's all in. It's going back to us. It's going back to us. And we're not going to give up on that. And here we are, right? We could all agree, over 1,000 years later. And Baruch Hashem, right? We know of what our birthright is. And still, at the same time, to open, turn the page, right, these questions still remain, right? How this works. Okay. So, Rabbi Yitzchak. This is the Kliyot. Lo Yitzchak, Rahat Kliyot, Setor. So everyone talks about this. Like, what's going on here? So the Kliyakar has a question. So what? So what, they call us thieves? You stole our land. Who cares? Who cares? We're saying that right now. Some of them, right? Okay, yeah, they're going to say it. It doesn't matter, right? Oh, you stole Gaza? No, we gave that back. Oh, you stole Haifa? No. Tel Aviv? You know, everything's stolen, according to that. Where's the Ishana say they're a Torah? Just because some yatzes are going to say that we're thieves, right? Are going to accuse us of something absurd, right? Genocide, whatever, right? That we should change the entire Torah for yatzes? Why would we do that? There's actually a principle, a halachic principle, in the Gemara when they, you know, it sets like a certain standard of payment or repayment for damages and whatever. And then the Gemara says, well, what if the person won't pay, right? So the Gemara says, "Atu b'rishias kina." What, are we going to legislate law for wicked people? No, we're going to set standards. Obviously, we have to figure out penalties, etc., etc. But there's a halachic standard, and we're going to stick to it. And we're not going to like kowtow to morons, essentially. Okay, so we're going to change the entire Torah for this. Starting off, Chodesh Hazeh. So Chubal is it? The Fisha Davra Zagorim. He says, because here's the answer: when you talk about thievery, robbery, stealing, that leads to completely denying the essential belief in God. Ki yomru les din v'les dayim v'chol da'alim kvar. Because when you live in a world where, as Rabbi Sacks used to say, might makes right, right? And that's the only thing that matters. There's no God. It's just, you know, who's the strongest, you know, person in the playground, right? Or when Putin's at, okay, I'm going to go and I'll do whatever I want. No one cares, right? And then that comes from a lack of belief. Because if there was a God, if there was a creator, right, who's seeing things and seeing how things, you know, ebb and flow, lama lo micha b'chem kishil kaftem izra, there are listios artos sheva umos, right? So why wouldn't God have punished you or rebuked you for doing what you did, right? And especially as the Jews, the people of the book, the people of God, why would, you know, God would come after us if we did something wrong. Right? So now he gives proofs to how robbery, right, how thievery, stealing, right, is kind of like the downfall of the world, of creation. So he says, the Dora Mabel, the generation of the flood, they were terrible people, but ultimately, what was it? It was the stealing. K'moshin emar, gozel avivi imo, ve'omeri in pesha, chaveri huli ishmashis. Right? If you just steal, you know, wantonly, then you're a friend to the destroyer, right? They bring destruction. K'masha chet zeh gadol mizulato, enu ba'avur etzem achet. Because it's not just about the stealing. It's not about the sin itself. Ki ba'avur haran in shechet imen. It's what comes out of it. It's what's drawn out afterwards, right? The idea that it puts out into the world. That, you know, he doesn't, anyone who steals, right, he doesn't find anything wrong with what he's doing. The Omari Pesha, I can do what I want. I'm good. Because there's no God in the world. There's no judgment. No, who's going to take it away from me? How does it matter? Therefore, that person, a thief, because by definition, what you're saying is, what's mine, what's yours is mine, right? And what's mine is mine. You're basically saying, I'm the creator. I can do whatever the heck I want, right? That's the sense. And that was, we know, that was me, that's Sodom also, right? That's why Sodom is destroyed. Okay. These people also, the generation of the flood, it led them to denying the validity of God. And this started them on the way of Hamas and Gezel, right? Oppression and it's really basically terrorism, right? It's like the beginning. That's what it is. That's the difference between Hamas and Gezel. Hamas is taking by force. Right? That's literally what it means, right? When they talk Mala Aras and Hamas. So, right, so it's not just about stealing, but it's about persecuting, harming, torturing, etc. Now what he does is he draws a line between, and it answers the question that Avery you asked, right, between the creation of the world and a Kodesh Hazeh. And he said, remember, taking out what I said about Avon's thing after. No, he says, no, there's a direct correlation between the two. That a Kodesh Hazeh should start. Why? Because Kisham Ne'emar, Mishku Kechulachem, so it says by Kodesh Hazeh, right, after the, in that parsha, it says what to do with the Korban Pesach. It says, pull for yourselves and take for yourselves some, right, a lamb. Says Rashi, Mishalachem. By definition, yeah, you're going to take, you're not stealing. You can't steal, right? You're not stealing the Egyptians, whatever. It's yours. It has to be yours. It's supposed to exclude you from this, this egregious sin of Gaza. Can't perish palaturim. V'chein Yitzchak, k'shetzivu la'avi lo shnei gedayi izim, echalasos mena korban pesach. And, midrashically, we know that Yitzchak asked for two gedayi izim, two lambs, okay, nice lambs. Because why? He was going to do a Korban Pesach with one of them, right? With Pesach. Amar, v'tzudal itzayid, he said, trap for me something, catch me some game. Perishrashi, mina hefke, v'lo mina gos. I want you to make sure, Esav, when you go out and do it, make sure that it's hefker. What does it mean? It's ownerless. Doesn't belong to anyone, right? You hunted it fair and square. It doesn't, it's not stolen. L'kisha Esav, v'vava lochein yedak. And beautifully, the Kli Yafir says, and since Esav, that's not the way Esav works. He went out, he was going to go rob someone and bring him some good stuff. So therefore, Hashem, who's the Mesaved HaKol, right? Hashem is who's in control of the world. He made it such that it ends up being, Rivka, gets Yaakov, and Yaakov brings it. Because we knew it would be essentially kosher, right? It wasn't stolen. Yeah, Esav doesn't work that way. V'chein shor sheikri v'adam arishon, and same thing, the shor, the ox, that Adam arishon brought, again, it's a midrash, amra b'seinu, sheilo karen achat b'mitzchak. It was a unicorn. I don't know if you ever heard about this before. The shor, that there was this ox, this animal, that had one horn. Karen, I'm very into Jewish bestiaries. I have a few books on them, right? Creatures in Judaism, whatever. So there's a chat, that some say, what's his name, Rabbi Slifkin. I have his book. And he talks about it. He says, he brings in the kind of animal it might be, some sort of ox that has, it looks like it has one horn, but stuff, whatever. But straight up, it's a unicorn. It's a unicorn, midrashic.
It's both color and do magic.
Yeah. The whole road. So does it do with anything? So he says, because just like Adam had one keren, not Salomar, Shayyihidi Ba'alam, Beloya Gozel, right? Adam Arishon was alone in the world, so he had one horn, meaning he had one, it was just him. And there was no one else he could take from, okay, Kabel Korbano. Therefore, his Korban was accepted. Because, again, it wasn't stolen. What he's saying is, He's actually giving us. Remember, I talked about that line you could draw from Bereishis Bara to Achodesh to create from creation to Achodesh Hazelachem. What he's doing is he's dotting that line. Adam Arishon, Yitzchak, and then Korban Pesach, right? Sort of all in that game. And, you know, and Noah, right? So you're able to see how bad stealing is and how what it caused, what it brings into the world. That's not what he meant, that you don't need everything else. Meaning, when he says, oh, you don't really need even gracious, right? And he says, no, Israel, whatever. You can't say that. Of course you need to know that God created the world. Of course you need to see. And the story of the generational flood, Parshas Noah, that explains reward and punishment, right? Appreciate the land, appreciate people. The law, mash nichtib b'kach mitzvot, as we said, every minachai, nidol d'avram, gidon ashrei d'yakob, ela shiratza lomar me'achar she'ikar ha'tolu mitzvot sed me'na, yimkein ha'yelu l'chad chil ha'torah b'mitzvah rishona, v'sipur zim v'reishis ha'atol shem zelachem, da'i b'zeh k'she'i t'enu b'sof ha'torah. So what he says is a little bit chiddush, that Rabbi Yitzchak wasn't saying we don't necessarily need the beginning, but he's saying you could have put it later. It could have been kind of like the, you know, when you read like an epilogue in a book or sort of a later chapter, like, hey, by the way, you know, this is what happened before all of this came, right? So it's starting, you know, you could have started later, but you would have come back to it later. And this is the answer that he gives. Eloi posit kana, you may card the dina pircha. Interestingly, it's what we just said before, that a person might, like we started with the Chodesh HaZelachem, there's no context. It's like actually in the Gemara, there are certain Gemaras where the Mishnah, you know, says, it's the first Mishnah in all of Shas. Right, like when is the, you know, creation? So the Gemara starts, and the Gemara says, Tana Hecha Koi. Like, what are you talking about? Where are you coming from? Tana Hecha, where's the Tana beginning from? What's the context here? I don't know what's going on. So then they give the psukim, they have to give sort of the background in order to understand it. So you're saying the same thing, you get up and say, Chodesh HaZelachem, you look at Moshe and be like, oh, we never heard about, you know, how bad Gezel was. We didn't hear about that because we didn't have these different things that were meant to show, especially the generation of Noah and the other things, that the proofs that it gave to show that, like, stealing is terrible. So what are you going to think? That Moshe is some strong man. He's, you know, Lahavdil, some tyrant, you know, that just wants to rule a slave nation and get them out and so on and so forth. Right? We need context here. So, right, and then, you know, they'll look and be like, all right, here, wait. Moshe came from out of nowhere. He's like, all right, let's get out of Egypt, and now we're gonna steal Israel. That's a bad narrative. By the way, what narrative does that sound like? If you think about it, modern day. What narrative does that sound like? In the sort of liberal progressive world, correct. And what do they say? Same thing. T.S. Mitzrayim. It's the same thing. Barack Obama, he like enshrined it, right? You got the Jews have Israel because of the Holocaust. That's it. That's what they said. You have Israel because of the Holocaust. The world felt bad for you, which is true. No, right? The UN didn't know where to resettle us. Like, all right, fine, forgive me. Right? But denying what the entire context. Isn't that fascinating? Right, here we are, you know, talking about Sof Masma, Shavat Chila, right? Like, we're at a Chodesh HaZelachem, right? Oh, yeah, oh, it starts with the Exodus. It doesn't start with the Exodus. It starts with creation. It starts with Noah. It started, and it continues with Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Tzarech, Terach, Leah, Elena, Gurvar, Tzazod, right? Don't leave this land. This is your land. This is our birthright. This is who we are. This is what we have. And that's the pshat. Therefore, we have to begin the Torah to talk about the creation of the world to show that we're not stealing the land, we're taking it through righteousness and justice. And with this, in this vein, just look at the last piece very quickly. I skipped ahead to the story of Tanya Hevel. Yitzhak, Kayin, Hevel is very telling. Because, you know, Kayin, it says, Vayomer Kayin el Hevel Achi, right? You see on the bottom, the middle left. No one knows what he said. It doesn't say it, it says he said something. He was bragging. Kayin was, you know, kind of bragging or boasting to Ayin, to Hevel, saying, "Li tegel malah. The world belongs to me." Right? It's just us. It's me and Hevel, right? We're supposed to split the world? No. The world belongs to me. Ba'ara di at ka'im Allah. What does it mean? What? The ara di'at. It's even better. The ara di'at ha'aim Allah. The land, ara is the earth. The land on which you're standing belongs to me. Meaning, even if you say we're splitting the world, no, your half is my half too. Right? And what did he do? Mi'ad? What does he do? Vayakam Allah, v'alis yisada, v'ayari. And because of this sadeh, because of this portion of land that he claims is his, what does he do? He kills him. Right? And then we have, you know, obviously, you know, God coming, well, what happened? Oh, do I have to watch out? Am I in charge here? How would I know? What does he first bring him to? The denial of God. And I think that's the ultimate sort of takeaway here is that, you know, to imagine that if you speak to a real Muslim, not getting into politics, but I'll say, a normal Muslim, right? A regular person. No one believes that murder is okay. No, they don't. And I've spoken to normal imams, Muslims. Like, obviously, they're fanatics, right? But these people literally were gearing up for, you know, this exciting next world, you know, adventure, right? That's why the more you murder, the more you rape, the more you kill, the more you mutilate. They said that when we went to Beiri, I don't know if I told you this, when we went to Beiri, they said that they found these terrorists. It's, anywhere you go in Israel, by the way, if you say you call them animals, you're insulting animals. It's true. These are barbarians. These are monsters, right? And they found that these monsters, they had shaved their genital part, like their, you know, bottom parts, right, and put like gold, like pierced their genitals, like a gold, you know, gold ring or something that jumped. Why? Because there's some crazy, you know, some Muslim, you know, hadith, some medrash that, like, you know, you have to be ready for the virgins that you're gonna get when you go up there. They're like on their, we're on our way, awesome. We're killing women and children on our way. Where did it come from, and where does it come from? Gaza. It comes from Gaza, and it comes from Hamas. It comes from Sing.
Al-Qaeda do also the ritual.
Yeah. And it comes from Sing, exactly here. It comes from Sing that listed on them, right? You stole our land. This is our land. You stole our land. It comes from Sing, like Kain said, you're standing on my land. And that's why this whole so complicated. Oh, give a two-state. Give them a two-state, blah, blah. Guys, are you kidding? Are you serious? You know, like, right? And by the way, right now, even if you do believe that, right now, are you crazy? How does that work? It doesn't matter. No matter what land we give, they still say it's inherent. Gaza's there, this, it doesn't work. But, you know what does work? The first Rashi in the entire Torah, which he wrote 1,000 years ago. Which was seems like it was some sort of Kabbalah from his father, which he probably see from his father, and so on and so forth. Koach ma'asav higid le'amo. We shouldn't walk around and cower. We should walk around proud and know that tzedek and mishpat are on our side. And gamzu ya'avor, and we will see Ezrat Hashem, real geula shleima and shalom v'karakol.
Go ahead. Baruch Hu. The Zakos says Yisrael.